Kids have made it back to school. Yeah, right? Is it been fun? School days, what a great time. I mean, I had a great time in school. I doubt if my teachers had a great time with me in school. I was always accused of definitely being the guy that was daydreaming, and I was. I mean, if you had the teachers I had, you'd daydream also. This morning, I do want to talk about going back to school. I want to talk about it in such a way that I have a lot of confessions. I really was going to speak on humility this morning, but then God said, you're not humble enough to do that. And so I got to work that out to even be able to touch that one, so I'm not going to be able to do that one. But I really believe that in a lot of things, I look back in my past, and I see a lot of times that guys, that I want this to be an encouragement to you. I didn't do very good in school. I really didn't. As a kid, I played. I had a great time. I mean, I really did. I made an A in all the fun things to do, lunch, recess, sports. I had a fun time doing that, yeah, especially the recess part. But I had my fair share and probably more than I should have had of those dastardly red letter that went, you know, it's like they couldn't write D minus minus minus. They had to give me the other ones. And I deserved that. And I think that it showed, especially even getting to college without knowing how to study and entering what should have been my junior year. In other words, I'd been there 2 years complete. And going into the third year with a 1.7, if you don't understand what that is, 2 is a C. So you realize about where I was. I enjoyed playing baseball. Had a good time doing that. Great time hunting and fishing. Came to Texas. What do you do? Well, you know, in that day. But you did that. But I got some of those things, and, you know, it wasn't a very good report cards that I always got. But there was one letter that I seemed to always stay with me longer than any of them. And that was, it wasn't an A. So if you're thinking I'm saying that, I didn't say that. It was an I. Anybody know an I? Called, yeah, incomplete. You know, that was because you didn't turn in the paper, you didn't take the final, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. But actually, the I's turned out a lot better for me than the F's. And it gave me an opportunity to do better. But when I think about those times, really seriously, that I think about today, and I think about the opportunity every one of you have that are young and you're back in school and you have the ability. The smarts are there. You just need to apply them. That's the way it was. You just needed to apply them, and I was told that very thing. By a dean, yes, at Baylor, saying that he didn't care what my batting average was. I needed to at least have a 2-0 that semester or I wouldn't be back. That didn't bother me as much as my grandfather saying that I was a shame unto the name of Jesus Christ. That bothered me. And so that started me on a road of redemption to make 4-0 the rest of the time through my remaining part at Baylor and through graduate school. I always felt like that, anything less than that, I was not doing what I was told to do. I wasn't honoring Christ. I had the ability, I just didn't apply it. I enjoyed me and what I like to do way more. So don't do that. Take your study seriously and do the things. But I'm not talking about going back to school today. I want to talk about grading something also. And I know school's just started, but you're already going to have a test. And I want to grade our worship experience today. I'm excited about being able to baptize 3 young men today. I've really been looking forward to this. It's a lot of fun. We got the baptistry working, and, you know, it's not ice cold today, and it's going to be great. There's only a few crickets in it. They were guppies, but I got them out. Now they're just crickets. But there's to grade worship in a variety of the way that the church is today, there's two factors. Number one, I'm not God. All I can tell you is what I assume that God wants our worship to be and how we worship right here. I mean, I can only assume that if it's honoring to him and it's something to do. And the second aspect of that very thing is that there's so many different styles. I remember way back when I was a kid that in the ECU church, that was Evangelical United Brethren Church, we went to, it was a very traditional church, and we sang all the old songs, and we did this, heard good preaching, and then we became United Methodist, and that all went out the window. But it was, it was a fun, it was a good time. But I've been to liturgical churches. I have been to all, and you know something, I've seen some great worship service, and I felt like I was in a great worship service in a very quiet domain, in a very repeating for certain phraseologies. Methodists do that all the time, and we did that. We did the doxology. We did all of these kind of things, and it really was a blessing. I mean, it was something very dignified about that. I've seen everything from, the contemporary to the traditional. I've seen it anywhere from ancient to modern, all these kind of things. I've experienced every one of those things. But the one thing that I think is so important, I come from an evangelical, contemporary, traditional background, and it's something that you've seen a lot of change. But growing up in the ministry, especially after 50-some years doing this now, I realize that worship involves other things. It involves something way more than a style. It involves something more than what we do on this platform for you. I remember singing the songs. I remember really wonderful times, even though I was a daydreamer and all those other things. Sunday morning was giving. We did that. We made the offering. We did all those things. We sang the hymns. The preaching was done, and we called that Sunday morning worship. And we still use that term, Sunday morning worshiping. That's the kind of service we had. So whether it's liturgical or whether it is, out of the box or whatever you want to call it, what the main emphasis is on you. It's not about us. It's not about what we do up here on this platform. I mean, I have seen other things. I've seen places that they had, it was like a concert, and the theme was Christian, of course, but it wasn't my kind of thing. I've been in congregations where they shouted, they hooped and hollered so much, I couldn't even hear what the guy said that was using the mic. But, they had a great time, and that's how they worshiped. But I've come down to one thing for this church, for you individually. Are you pleasing to God? That's the bottom line. It's not about the good music that we have, and we have great music. Well, Mo, Larry, and Curly, and all. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love it that they're up here. They're willing to do that. I know what my responsibility is. But my responsibility is not to set to you and say, this is what worship is. My responsibility is to remind you that you are to give your best worship unto Jesus Christ. That's what I am here for. I mean, leaders are just tools. That's what we are. I mean, and we're blessed. We are absolutely blessed in a corporate experience to have good singers, that music sets the stage for almost everything that we do here, and it's a blessing, absolutely a blessing. And I enjoy the traditional blended with the praise music. I think that is something that we waited a long time to do. But I really wanted to emphasize that very fact is that we get to do it together. It is a corporate experience, but the thing that's most important about it is you, and are you worshiping God to the utmost? Or can we go farther? And that's a question I think every one of us have to answer to ourselves. We've experimented. We've done a lot of different things here. And I think they were necessary. We haven't stayed with some of the things. But I've been in A-plus services right here. And I mean, to me, they were A-plus worship services. I saw the Spirit of God move. I've seen it all. It started with church music. It really did. It was there. We've had it during the Lord's Supper. We have done that when during prayer. We've done it. I've heard great preaching here. I've done all of these things. I've watched you serve. I've watched all of these things placed. I've been at a place here at this altar where I've been ushered into the presence of God. And I wanted everybody around me to experience that very same thing. But I've also seen man-centered things. I've seen even me-centered. Yeah, I've seen that too many times. I've even seen things that we've done at times, and it's just been pathetic. Hey, the buck stops here, right? I did it. I've been right there. I've done that. But I want to tell you that regardless of the style that we use, regardless of how you see all those things, there are times, if you're realistic, there are times that they're just deficient. They're not everything that we want them to be. But it only starts by grading yourself. I've got to grade me. I've got to see what kind of grade I'm getting in every one of these worship services. I need to know that I am giving my best every time. And I know when I'm not. That's pretty obvious to me. But I give credit to where credit's due. I give credit to Terrence and Mary Grace and Jamie and TJ and Matthew and anyone and Margaret playing the piano. I give credit to them because they set the tone so many times for our worship experience, what we call a worship experience. And I know they do it out of a heart of love. Now, I know Terrence at times, if he makes a mistake, he doesn't like it, and he'll chew on somebody if they don't hit the right note at the right time. And, he's a perfectionist about those kind of things. And I think he does that because he expects me to think that he needs to do that. But I want to worship. I want you to feel that we've been ushered into the very presence of God. We're always in his presence, but there are times that we just need to get to a personal relationship of worship. A time where we can just say that I've given everything and that I know where I am instead of having an incomplete. Worship cannot be just incomplete. That's one of the worst things that you could offer to God. You want to do it quietly? Praise God. You want to do it with your hands in the air? Hallelujah. Do it. You want to do it any way, style that you have, any way you want to say. Some of you can sing. Some of you, I wish you wouldn't sing. And there are just sometimes that we got instruments. We have, we've got the guitars. We got drums. We've had everything. We've had an organ here at one time. We've had it all. The piano, of course. We've had a double bass solo. Tell me what churches get a double bass solo. Yeah, they don't. I'm just waiting for somebody to start playing the tuba. You're working on it? Pray for me. But personal worship, how you worship God, cannot be incomplete. One of my favorite passages of Scripture comes from Romans chapter 12, and it begins at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We expect God to come through, do we not? And he always comes through A++. It's always perfect every time the way God does things. But Paul reminds us here, he said, I'm asking you, I'm coming to you. And he said, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercies, that you offer your body a living sacrifice. In other words, you give everything that you have to God as a living sacrifice. You've been saved. God has cleansed you. Now give that cleansed body, that mind, that heart, back to God in such a wonderful way that he can accept what you have as a living sacrifice, complete, not incomplete. You know, the Apostle Paul spent a long time there in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans with one of the most masterful theological texts you'll ever read. I mean, he lays out the Christian life really quick. And he begins at describing depravity and the way men are in chapter number 1. He moves on into chapter number 3 and he talks about the glorious salvation that God has provided for us. He does all of these things. He talks about the victory over sin in chapter 6. He provides all of these great, and who can pass up on chapter 8? I mean, there's things right there that said, man, I don't need to live this way. God has provided far greater way for me to live. And then he takes chapter 9 and 11, and it's humbling, extremely humbling, because he says, I haven't arrived. And if Paul hadn't arrived, I wonder where that leaves me. And it is a very humbling experience, because the words of the scripture right there are for us. We don't deserve anything from God. We don't deserve anything. But because of his love and his mercy, his grace, he gave us salvation. And it's salvation that we can't take for granted. You know, oh, well, I got saved and everything's fine. What are you to do with that salvation now? How do you come back and tell God how much you love him? Or do you? Are you spending the time really, really trying to say to him that you are my everything? You're the most important thing in my life. Are we saying in my worship experience, am I grading it? Am I high on the scale, or do I get way down here and say it's just really incomplete? Grace is undeserved, but that's what makes worship so wondrous. Because God is so generous and has set a pattern for us that we should pay attention to that. How do you respond to that? It's not how you respond to my preaching. It's how you respond to what the Holy Spirit says. It's not what I have to give before you. I wish I could always give you an A++ sermon every time I get in the pulpit. I wish that was always the way, but it's not. And I realize that more than anybody does. But then I look into the Word of God and I see all the wonderful promises that God made to me. And I'm reminded of all the things, and I've seen all the miracles that he's done in this congregation. And then I wondered and said, well, what song do you want us to sing that'll make you happy? What song do you want us to do that would bring joy to your heart? What can we sing? Or what prayer can we pray that will complete the worship experience for you? What is it? If I do any of those things, if we do any of those things, that's a man-made deal. It's not a God-made thing. And we need a God-made thing. The supreme act of worship to me is offering myself. That's what it is. You want to talk about worship? Offer yourself. Because that's what worship is. Yes, we're together as a church, and we can always say, that was a great service, we had a wonderful time, everything was wonderful in the thing, but we need to give ourselves completely or wholly, wholly, as well as holy. We need to do all of those things to God to truly worship him today. That's what we need to do. We need to become that living sacrifice. We need to do the things that he's asked us to do, because that's the very meaning of worship. Giving God back everything and providing to him the best that we have to offer. That's all we can be graded on. It's not set up, well, my brother does this over here, my sister does it. No, it has nothing to do with that. How about you? Are you giving Jesus Christ the best of yourself? Are you offering unto the Lord every time? Are you telling him how much he's worth? Because that's the only worship you'll ever find. It's not focused upon how well you feel about the service. It's about how well God is blessed. That's what worship is. And I think I lose sight of that at times. I know I have. I wrote down three principles this morning that I truly believe this is the God-sent thing for me. We need to worship God first. You say, well, that's pretty obvious. Well, is it? It's not for my benefit. It's not for your benefit. It's for God's benefit. You know, when we sing the old hymn, one of the greatest hymns of the church, Holy, 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 I mean, wow. What are we saying? God, you're everything. Lord God Almighty. And we're praising him in a way that some hymns, and you know, and I like the newer hymns too. I like the praise music, but there's something about that that says, I am worshiping God. I'm praising God for everything that he has done. It's completely about God. And I've offered God my living sacrifice. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what everyone is supposed to do as we worship God. The second thing, worship doesn't just belong here this morning or on a Sunday morning that we call worship. Worship is about living. It's about everything that you do in your life. And I think I see that as one of the greatest weaknesses of the church, of the American church today. They think that everything, and hopefully you do not feel this way, but I deal this way at times, that we are under the assumption that worship only happens on Sunday morning. You know, we're doing God a favor. We got together. I got out of bed, and I know we set our time earlier here, and we do that, but we're doing God a favor by getting up, and we're coming here, and we're all doing things, and worship should be at all times. It should be a worship experience at all times. You know, how do you praise him? I can't play the guitar. Certainly don't play the piano. I'm terrible on the drums. Now, with a violin, Mary Grace, you ought to hear me. That'd be me. Yeah, I'd be the one. I did have down way back when you guys were really, really little. I did have down peanut butter sandwich, though. You may not know what that is, but you can ask her about that. One of the first things you learned, peanut butter sandwich, right there. Okay, I had that one down. We worship for the glory of God. That's why we worship. How much is God worth to you? That tells me how much you worship. But you don't have to tell me. I'm not important, but he is. That's what worship is all about. Not just some predetermined way that we do it here at Cornerstone or wherever your home church is. You know, everybody's home church, that's the only way to worship. Really? Don't tell those in Guyana that are worshiping in a totally different way we wouldn't even know anything about, but they're worshiping. And I promise you this, there's more people worshiping God in Guyana today than there's worshiping God in all of Western Europe. Why? Because they're uninhibited, and they're so thankful for what God has done for them. But let me get back to this. What else is worship? The last principle that I wrote down for it, it talks about this. Worshiping is a relationship. Now, you have a relationship with God. You remember he was your Savior? He forgave you of your sins. He's always there for you every moment of every day. When you mess up, he's right there to say, I forgive. He's right there to pat you on the back and to encourage you and to lift it up and do that. But I can tell you this, nobody's going to force you to worship here. You want to worship? You can worship. As much as I love music, we don't need music to worship God. You don't need preaching to worship God. You don't need anything but God. And a heart that says, I want to worship God. I want to get in my truck and go down the road, and I just want to worship God. Now, I've told Margaret many times, if you put your hands down, they'll think we're charismatics. That was on the way to have a baby that time, so she had an excuse on that one. But, you know, how you worship him, that's between you and God. But do you worship him with all your heart? Are you a living sacrifice unto him? I love songs of praise. I love giving gifts. I love serving. I love doing all of those things that I think are so important. But the most important was giving myself. And I lose sight of that at times. Giving myself. And that's the most important of all. If I haven't given myself to God every morning before I come here, then you're not getting everything that God wants me to give. And I'm sorry, I have failed you many times at that right there. I just think we can go farther. And I'm not talking about tweaking what we're doing. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about adding another instrument. I'm not talking about any of those things, but I'm just suggesting that every time that you come here or go to wherever you're worshiping, go there with a heart that says, I'm giving everything. I am giving to God who I am as a living sacrifice, holy, completely pure before him because of the blood of Christ. This is what I'm doing. And then you might have that sense that God is pleased. And when God is pleased, I can tell you this, you're worshiping. When you know in your heart, you feel that. And everybody's been there, haven't you? I think everybody's been there. We know when we're worshiping God. And I mean worshiping God. And we know when we're playing church. We all know these things. We know we don't care who's around, and we're just letting it all go. It's not about intensity. It's about involvement. It's about worshiping the way God wants us to. So I'm asking you, because I had to ask myself this, because God asked me, did I give God my best? Nobody's going to be sitting up there writing down. There won't be a person there to fill out your report card for you. God's writing it in indelible ink in his book. You came and you worshiped me. How do we express that to God? However you want to do it, it's okay. You can express to him with your hands in the air or as quiet as a church mouse. You can express to him in a language I have no clue about. Or you can express to him just out of a moaning, if that's what it takes. No matter how you do it, worship God. And then the experience will not be incomplete. God is the only one that's justified to grade my worship experience. He's the only one. And he's the only one that I have to do it. So, he doesn't care about the song selection. No, I know he doesn't. He doesn't care about the volume of it. He doesn't care about the mode that you might have or the modus operandi, whatever they call that big word. He only wants us to answer one simple question. Are we giving him our best? That's all. Are you giving him your best? If you're giving God your best, then you're worshiping. You're worshiping the way that he wants you to do. I want you to think about that. We're going to worship, we're going on in worship this morning, and we're going to worship in a baptismal service. Three young men that have given their hearts to Jesus, and they are coming for their public display of faith by being baptized this morning. So let's pray together.